Welcome back. Hour number two of the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. He's taking a holiday weekend. Yeah, pipe me up a little bit there. We're having some technical. We're trying to pull off a neat technical trick this hour by having tons and tons of occupiers here in the studio with us. Very good. Thanks, Tone. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, once again occupying your public airwaves as we head towards the holiday weekend, as we head towards the Iowa caucuses next week. By the way, we talked a little bit about in the last hour how Republicans are setting their own rules for the Iowa caucus, and yet they're not requiring any voter to show photo ID before voting. Imagine that. The one election that they run, and they're not bothering to require people to use a photo ID to cast a vote. Because why? Well, because they're not really concerned about voter fraud. That's just a scam to keep you from voting. But a bit of good news. I may be able to get into it a little bit more in the third hour. This is actually really good news. The Republicans were concerned about Anonymous apparently hacking the election somehow. So, the bad news is they've moved their tabulation center to an undisclosed location. So nobody will know, where they won't be able to oversee that part of the process. However, they claim that they will be using hand-counted paper ballots at each and every caucus site. That's some 1,800 caucus sites around the state of Iowa. They're going to be voting on a paper ballot and hand-counting them. So they're hand-counting paper ballots at the Iowa caucus, and they're not requiring photo ID. All of the same things they won't allow you to use in the general election around the country. Because around the country, you know, they say, well, you're a Democrat, you don't get to vote. And, oh, you can't use a paper ballot. We're not going to hand-count your paper ballot. That's impossible. We couldn't do it. We have to have secret vote-counting computers do it. All right. More of that, I suspect, in the next hour. But let me change gears here just a bit. Well, sort of change gears. This is about accountability. And I'm going to be joined here in the studio momentarily by Cheryl Eichley and Lawrence Zeese, two occupiers who were arrested out here several weeks ago at City Hall in Los Angeles. But before I bring them in here, I have been... I've gotten to know a little bit a great citizen journalist. I'm going to call him legendary citizen journalist, Spencer Mills, who's otherwise known as Oak Faux Show, out there on the Twitters and at oakfauxshow.com. He's from the Bay Area, hopefully up there listening on Green 960 before Mike Malloy disappears as of January 3rd. Well, goes into the wee hours and they don't play the third hour. But anyway, for now, we're on live up there in the Bay Area and Oakland. And Spencer Mills, who is a citizen journalist, he was down here in Los Angeles several weeks ago when the LAPD raided the Occupy LA encampment. And he was videotaping the whole thing, broadcasting it to the world. The whole world was watching. And the whole world was watching, or at least I was watching, when an officer from the LAPD pointed a gun straight at Spencer Mills. Before we play the audio, let me bring on Spencer. Hey, here we go. There we go. Hey, Spencer, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Brad. It's good to be on this evening.
All right, great. Glad to have you here. And I just wanted to touch base on this because I've covered this in the past with you. We've covered it at bradblog.com. We have this video up there for people to see. But I wanted to find out if we've got any accountability for what happened between you and Officer Escamilla. Very quickly, set up what it is that we're about to hear. I'm going to play the audio here. What happened in this moment on what was the date? I'm already forgetting. September 29th? I've lost track. Okay. I know you lost track too. Okay. So what happens here? What will we hear in this clip?
Well, basically, basically, I'm filming, I'm live view streaming to the world from the center of the LA encampment there as it was being raided, and I'm just outside the center circle where the vast majority of protesters that wanted to be peacefully arrested were staging and linked in arms, and I'm right outside of a police line, and I'm sitting there filming, and all of a sudden this one officer, Officer Escamilla, basically starts pointing his weapon up at the trees. There's protesters in the trees, and then he just brings it down directly from the trees right at my face. You know, and it was only for a second, but when you have a shotgun pointed at your face, that second feels like an eternity. And, you know, and so basically I informed him that I was not happy with his actions, essentially.
Yes, you did. You did not cower. You informed him you were not happy. You stood up to this, frankly, thuggery. Here is a clip of Spencer Mills, Oak for Show, a journalist who has the LAPD cop, Officer Escamilla, who I hope is famous soon, pointing a gun straight at his face on videotape at Occupy LA. And it's a little hard to hear at first, but I think you'll be able to hear Spencer Mills, Oak for Show, giving the officer what foe.
Escamilla is pointing his weapon at protesters. That's not necessary. You just pointed your weapon right at me. That's not necessary. Procedure and it's against code. You're not supposed to do it. So keep your finger off the trigger, please. Thank you. Don't point your weapon at me. It's against procedure and it's against code. I'm a journalist. I'm allowed to be here.
Guns down! Guns down! Guns down! Guns down!
Again, his name is Escamilla. Escamilla. I believe he just broke procedure.
Yes, he just broke procedure, and Spencer Mills, otherwise known as Oak for Show, was there to hold him accountable that night and to not cower like so many in the corporate media would have. Oh, I'm sorry, officer, I will leave now, whatever you tell me to do. So, Spencer, this Officer Escamilla, you had filed a complaint with the LAPD because this is not the procedure. These cops are not supposed to be pointing their guns at peaceful journalists, are they?
Well, no, of course not. And, you know, especially not with your finger on the trigger. Basically, what I did was I called in and filed a complaint verbally with LAPD IA, Internal Affairs. I have yet to hear back. I just actually contacted, via email, LANLG, the National Lawyers Guild, to see if they can help me file a complaint. I'm going to be down in Southern California this weekend and through, you know, to cover Occupy the Rose Parade activities. Mm-hmm. And if I haven't heard anything back by then, I'm thinking I'll just probably drive the extra distance down to L.A. and walk into LAPD myself and file it via file it personally by hand.
Bless you, sir. So it's been weeks. You called up and you said, I have an officer who had pointed a gun to me. I'd like to file a complaint, and nobody has called you back. I know it's been more than a month. I'm forgetting the date of the actual raid on Occupy L.A. So, nobody called you back?
No one has gotten back to me. No one has called me. You know, it's disappointing. But, again, I mean, apparently they've had 16 complaints filed is what I've heard from folks at OLA. And, I don't know if I'm one of them. If they actually took that down as a complaint. But I haven't heard anything back personally from it.
Yeah, and given what we have learned about what happened to some of these occupiers once they were in police custody, I can't believe there's only been 16 complaints. Maybe there are many like yours that they haven't bothered to call back. Spencer Mills, thank you for staying on this, for continuing. I'm glad you're coming down here for the Rose Parade, where the occupiers will, in fact, they have been granted a spot to occupy the Rose Parade this Monday, I guess. Question now is, will the TV media, will the corporate media actually show the Occupy float? They've got a big octopus, apparently, they're going to be using in the Rose Parade, or will they cut away to commercial when the occupiers show up? That remains to be seen. If they do cut away to commercial, however, Spencer Mills, I suspect, will be carrying it all live on his Ustream. And your Ustream, Spencer, is Ustream. Yeah, go ahead.
Ustream.tv/Occupy Oakland. And actually, they're going to have the human floats, but it's going to be after the what is technically the last float in the Rose Parade, which is the 43rd float. And there will be a line of four police cars, and then there will be four Occupy the Rose Parade human floats directly behind those police cars. So I don't know if the corporate media is actually going to put them on TV. Nonetheless, there's hundreds of thousands of people that line the route, and every media, it's the second largest TV event next to the Super Bowl. So every media organization known to man will be there clicking away and probably taking video, even if it doesn't go out live. So, it's an unmistakable opportunity for the Occupy movement to basically get the word out in a very visual and loud way.
I will look forward to that. Give us a holler once you're down here. Be great to see you again in person, Spencer. Check him out, ustream.tv/OccupyOakland, and also at his website, OakFoShow.com. Is that right?
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Spencer. Keep us up to date. Once you hear from the LAPD, I'm sure they will take care of this problem and bring Officer Escamilla to justice very soon. All right. Thanks, brother. Take care. All right. When we come back, a couple of folks who not only had a gun pointed at them were actually arrested and detained. Their stories are extraordinary. If you thought what happened in L.A. was peaceful when they evacuated City Hall, just wait. Stay tuned. Brad, in for Malloy.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Yeah, that man with the gun.
Telling me I got to beware.
That man with the gun may be the LAPD officer. Officer Escamilla, who, as far as I'm concerned, should be the most famous officer in the in Los Angeles right now. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, Brad of BradBlog.com. Broadcasting live from the Left Coast and the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 out here in Los Angeles, which is why we are able to bring you live and in studio a couple of the occupiers, the Occupy LA folks. And, everyone has been worrying about the Iowa caucuses. They're all, this is so important what's going on up there in Iowa. And it's a crazy circus and everybody is going crazy. But we're kind of losing sight of things that, actually matter. Like, the inequality, the economic inequality in this country and the people who have been putting their lives on the line. Night and day in many cases for months at a time out at these occupations. Well, 1 month ago out here in Los Angeles, and it was the night of November 29th and the morning of November 30th, the Los Angeles Police Department, ordered by Mayor Villaraigosa, was ordered to clear out City Hall and the occupiers who had been there for, I think, a month by that time. And you had been there for 2 months by that time. Everybody, including BradBlog.com, gave the LAPD credit for, not beating the crap out of people too much, not spraying too much pepper spray. They didn't use any pepper spray. They didn't use any tear gas. They did fire some rubber bullets. But other than that, they were, pretty much said, oh, well, way to go, Mr. Mayor. You had the police behave well. Well, you know what? After the media left, it turned out that these folks who were detained, hundreds of them, were not treated so well. And I've got a couple of those folks we'll tell their stories here. Lawrence Zeese, he is a top green landscape designer here in L.A. He formed a legal observer program called Peace in Action to help activists confronted by police altercations at Occupy encampments in various cities. He was a legal observer on the night of the Occupy LA raid, and he followed all the instructions of the police when he was then arrested, and we'll find out what the thanks he got for following the instructions were. Lawrence, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
I'm also joined by Cheryl Eichley. She's a recent UCLA grad, a national community liaison to Americans for Safe Access, which is a medical marijuana advocate. And she was the last citizen journalist. We just had Oak Fischel. Do you know Oak Fischel, Cheryl?
I'm familiar with him.
You're familiar with him? Well, he was like Oak Fischel. Cheryl is a Ustreamer. She was broadcasting. I was watching your broadcast that night. She was broadcasting from the inner circle at Occupy LA, the folks who were linking arms, ready to be arrested, who had volunteered to be arrested. And as it turns out, Cheryl, you were linking arms with the musician Michelle Schacht.
She was my raid buddy that night.
Your what buddy?
Raid.
Your raid buddy. Did you know her beforehand? Did you know she was going to be there?
Yeah, she had joined the Civic Engagement Committee, which is a committee I had started, and she had been helping with that committee for weeks. When she was in town, she actually had to leave a couple of times to tour and such.
I see. And so you mean the people at these occupations are not all unemployed hippies that I had read about? There's people like Michelle Schacht, who has a job, who makes millions of dollars as a recording artist?
I don't know if she makes millions of dollars.
Okay.
But I bet she does.
But she has a job. Okay. And so you guys were there, and we're going to we've got some audio. Do we have time to play that real quick? We'll clip. Yeah, this is a clip of Cheryl from the Inner Circle at Occupy L.A. right before the arrest.
Fellow citizens, peaceful citizens, disobey your orders.
I am in the middle of the inner circle. We are surrounded by police and peaceful protesters.
Raise your hand again if you have an unlinked arm. If you are in a circle with an unlinked arm. Again, in the inner circle. Can you right there move into the inner circle? It's a responsibility. It's a big responsibility.
Okay, that was some of the audio there in those moments just before you guys were arrested, before Cheryl Eichley and Lawrence Zeese were arrested. We're going to find out what happened after you guys were arrested. We've got a nice big segment after we come back from the break. We're going to get each of your stories of what happened because some of it is extraordinary. And the fact that there has been so little call for accountability for these officers out here in L.A. Same thing is happening up in Oakland and New York and everywhere else, by the way. But I think these guys in L.A. are kind of getting a free ride. That changes tonight as far as I'm concerned. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Oh, stop by the chat room, bradblog.com. Love to see you over there. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. We're going to take your calls next hour on anything you want to talk about tonight, whether it's the Iowa caucus, the photo ID nonsense and the way the Republicans are trying to keep you from voting, any of that, or anything we're talking about this hour, where we're talking about not just Occupy Wall Street and Occupy LA, but accountability. I'm joined in the studio by Lawrence Zeese and Cheryl Eichley, both who were arrested on the night of November 29th, the morning of November 30th, out here in Los Angeles, when everyone thought, oh, the police, they were given great credit because they didn't use tear gas and pepper spray, as we saw up there in Oakland and UC Davis and in New York City and so forth. But what happened after the media left to these folks who were detained is a different story. And we've been hearing a lot of stories from a lot of detainees, although not really in the L.A. Times. So we're going to put it out here over in the Mike Malloy Show and let you get an idea what happened. Cheryl Eichler, let's start with you, Cheryl. You were in that inner circle. You were volunteering to be arrested. You were linking arms with recording artist Michelle Schacht. And, well, let's take it from there. As you were you were also broadcasting on the web across Ustream, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And, okay, so then eventually they were able to pry you loose and arrest you?
Yeah, before that, I was able to speak out directly to the LA Times and to the Daily News, and they were able to quote me from within the circle, and the LAPD kind of brushed them away or brushed them off and told them, you can't talk to the protesters, you know, you might rile them up. So there was definitely some suppression of media and the press going on. I was also able to speak directly to the mayor, who was about 100 yards away from me, speak out loud to him and tell him of my experience with the occupation and why I was there, and ask him some questions. And at the end of speaking to him, I said, Mayor, did you hear what I had to say to you?
Uh-huh.
And he nodded his head yes. So.
And this is Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa?
Yes.
Who, what did you ask? What did you ask him? What did you say to him?
What I told him was I had started with the occupation on September 25th, 2011, that I had started the Civic Engagement Committee, mm-hmm. that the LAPD was threatening to arrest us on right before the occupation began, and that myself and another occupier had went to city council and spoke during public comment and let them know that the LAPD were threatening to arrest us for sleeping anywhere near City Hall the next October 1st. And that's when City Council member Richard Alarcon wrote a letter to the chief of police, mm-hmm. to the city attorney, and to the director of general services, which is the police that handled the City Hall grounds. And I asked him why didn't he sign the resolution that the City Council had passed on October 12, 2011 in support of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
the City Council in L.A. here was very supportive for a while, anyway, of the occupiers and of Occupy Wall Street in general, unlike a lot of cities around the country. So he didn't. That City Councilman did not sign this
The mayor
resolution.
Did not sign.
The mayor did not.
Sign the resolution that the City Council passed unanimously.
And did he give you a reason why he didn't sign it?
He didn't. He didn't really respond mm-hmm. to anything that I had said to him or asked him until I asked him if he had heard what I said, and he did nod his head. And I was speaking, yelling out very loudly and very clearly through
yeah.
all the chaos and everything. So I was able to, for the first time, for me to speak directly to the mayor. I had gone to his office several times during the occupation to speak to somebody in his office.
So I guess he didn't want to talk to you because he didn't want to rile you up the way the press might do. And you know how you occupiers, what happens when you get riled up. Okay, so you end up getting arrested.
Yes.
You go onto a bus and you're handcuffed, I guess, shackled? And
yeah, zip-tied. I was actually able to get my handcuffs off fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
Other people were not as lucky, and theirs were cutting off circulation. We had a 79-year-old woman who was arrested with us, and we had told the sheriff deputy who were at driving the bus or at the front of the bus that her cuffs were way too tight for her. And the gentleman, the sheriff deputy sitting with the driver, made a very smart comment and said she should have left her 79-year-old at home. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so
this is 79-year-old Ruth Sarnoff,
yes,
I believe.
This
and
was,
she was arrested. She was in the inner circle with you guys?
She was not. I think she was at Kids Village, holding down space in Kids Village.
And she was arrested. 79 years old. How long were you guys on this bus with these cops who were wisecracking at a 79-year-old? I guess she's one of those unemployed hippies, too.
Yeah.
How long were you on that bus before you were?
Well, after he had made that comment to mm-hmm. her, the bus mic checked him. I don't know if your
right.
listeners understand what mic check is, but
right.
it's when somebody calls out a mic check and you repeat what they say.
Right.
And so a variety of us had made comments to the deputy, and my comment to him was that I know the law, that every law enforcement agency in California is required to have a citizen complaint process, that every complaint has to be investigated, and that every complaint stays on an officer's record for 5 years. And actually, one of the city council members had given me his personal cell phone number and email and told me, it's your right to get arrested if you want, but please don't resist.
Right.
And if any officers mistreat you, I want to know, because he had previously
mm-hmm.
told me he could get my complaints in front of Chief Beck. So I had just explained that to the deputy, and everybody was repeating what I had to say.
I see.
And he eventually had apologized when we asked him
to. You got the cop to apologize.
Yeah, and we were able to, I think, from that sort of dynamic that we created on that bus, is get ourselves off that bus a little bit sooner. One of the ladies on the bus whose cuffs were far too tight, actually passed out once we got to the Van Nuys police station.
And how long was that? How long were you on that bus at that point?
I don't know, because they had taken everything from me to tell time.
I think a half hour?
I think I was arrested somewhere around 2 a.m., and I think we got off the bus somewhere after the sun was coming up, so somewhere after 6 a.m. So
you were 4 hours on this bus?
Yeah.
And this 79-year-old woman was also on the bus for 4 hours handcuffed with you?
Yes.
That's Cheryl Eichle. Lawrence Zeiss, you were on a bus as well for quite some time, weren't you?
Oh, it was a fun bus.
How long were you on the bus? A different bus than Cheryl, right?
We were on the bus for 7.5 hours, according to our approximations.
7.5 hours, handcuffed.
Yes. Handcuffed. Some very large men actually had damage to there's one gentleman who had damage to his shoulder. Another gentleman was in tears. We're talking a big, huge, buff guy was literally in tears because the pain was so severe.
The pain from what? From the zip ties and the handcuffs?
From having zip ties and your hands behind your back and being forced to be sitting into a little middle seat.
For 7 hours.
In an arrest bus. Yeah.
We've heard stories that people on these buses were forced to urinate on themselves.
There were.
Did this happen?
There were both women and men on the bus. We were, of course, more worried about the women because they have more increased chances of getting yeast infections and whatnot. So we were like, can you at least let the women off the bus relieve themselves? Sheriffs, of course, blew us off the entire time. No responses.
So no response. So were you on? Did this actually happen? You saw folks, women who had to relieve themselves in the bus?
Well, because I was arrested in the front. Turning around was not something I could do. I was way too jammed in. But yes, women were revealing. From what I was hearing, that they actually did. One woman actually apparently vomited as well.
And we heard the story also from the fella, and I'm forgetting his name now, but he's actually a writer on Fox's Family Guy, who talked about being shackled and brought to a parking garage and forced to kneel for some 7 hours on concrete, which to me sounds a whole hell of a lot like torture.
Guantanamo Bay level.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, straight out of the Kubark book, if you know anything about the history of CIA torture and so forth. Okay, so after this treatment, Lawrence, you're in a bus for 7 hours. You finally checked in. Cheryl, you're in a bus for what we were guessing, about 4 hours. Cheryl, you're then booked, and you're held for how long were you held in the L.A. County Jail that you were held in?
Oh, I was held at the Van Nuys jail, so I don't think it was the county jail.
Van Nuys jail.
I think it's
the
city jail. And I was actually bailed out by Occupy Los Angeles General Assembly. I'm recovering from a very serious injury, which causes me chronic pain. So going into this, I let them know that I'm not going to do too well in jail for very long.
Right.
And they were able to bail me out. So I got out after 2 days.
2 days?
Yeah.
You were held in jail for 2 days for peacefully protesting, and you didn't put up a fight, did you?
No, not at all. I didn't get charged with any resisting arrest or anything.
So you were let go early because you had some medical issues. They let you go after only 2 days in jail, and your bail was set at what?
$5,000.
$5,000 for peacefully demonstrating, exercising your First Amendment rights at City Hall, 2 days in jail. Okay, and charges? What are the charges still pending against you?
The charges are still pending against me. The city attorney's office sent me a letter offering me to pay $375 to a corporation called American Justice Association to take a class on my First Amendment rights and how to be a better American citizen. And my response was due on the 27th of December, and I had asked the National Lawyers Guild if they could get me a little bit more time to respond to this offer. And this offer, if I take the class and pay the money, they won't charge me.
So if you take a class in First Amendment, yes, on the First Amendment from a private company and pay this private company $375. Here you were exercising your First Amendment rights. Who is the, well, we don't have time to go into who this private company is, but I will look into them in the future because I'm interested who is making out like crazy from the First Amendment. All right. And if you took that class, by the way, would your charges be dropped?
My charges would be dropped. right now, my arraignment date is January 6th, so I will be going to court on January 6th.
Okay. Lawrence Zeis, you were the – you spent the longest time in jail of all of the occupiers?
I don't know if I spent the longest. I think some people are actually still in
jail. How long were you in jail?
I spent 3 days with the Los Angeles Police Department holding facility after this wonderful bus ride.
Right.
And then I spent an additional 7 days under the tender care of Twin Towers,
Who's that?
L.A. County jail.
So you were in the L.A. County General Jail,
yes,
for seven more days. So a total of 10 days,
yes,
in custody.
Yep.
Now, you this serves you right because you wanted to be arrested, and so you were...
I wanted to be arrested about as much as I want to be
so you did not
sodomized.
So I see. So you did not want to be arrested.
No.
And yet you followed all the rules. You know, I got to take... Let me take a quick break here. We're going to come back and get the rest of your story.
Sure.
That's Lawrence Zeis speaking with him in studio, along with Cheryl Eichli, both in studio. Lawrence was held for 10 days after the raid at Occupy LA. And no, he did not volunteer to be arrested. In fact, he followed all the rules.
I was told as a child.
Just like you were told, and your thanks was being held for 10 days. We're going to find out why that is. Oh, man. This stuff really ticks me off. I got to tell you. And nobody's paying attention. They're paying attention to these jackasses up in Iowa running around like idiots. And great Americans like you are putting yourselves on the line for all of us and being treated with taxpayer dollars like this by the LAPD. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead. They got to turn me loose.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
Who?
We all want to change the world.
Who, me? Revolution? Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com and for Mike Malloy. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on your public airwaves. As long as they remain that way. Okay, we're speaking in studio with Cheryl Eichli and Lawrence Zeis, both of whom were arrested on the night of November 29th, 1 month ago, in the morning of November 30th. We've heard from Cheryl. They're out at the Occupy LA at City Hall, peacefully demonstrating, exercising their First Amendment rights. Cheryl Eichli was at the center of the group who had decided to not leave. I think, Cheryl, did you volunteer to get arrested, or you preferred not to? But
I prefer not to say on air that I volunteered to get arrested,
okay,
because I still have a criminal case pending,
okay,
and I don't want anything I say to be used against me.
You volunteered to exercise your First Amendment rights, shall we put it that way?
That night I had access to all five tenets of my First Amendment rights. I redressed my government by talking to the mayor. I had access to the press. I had access to religious leaders to pray. I had my freedom of speech.
You were the press. You were broadcasting from right there. Yeah.
As far as I was peacefully assembling.
Yes. All right. Now, Lauren, and we talked about you were held for two nights, $5,000 bail before you were released. Lawrence, you were on a bus for 7 or 8 hours before you were ever taken off there. Folks are forced. The LAPD was forcing folks to urinate on themselves. Mm-hmm. You were then held in jail for how long?
Total 10 days.
And your bail was set at what?
$23,000.
$23,000. In jail for 10 days, you were not one of the people. You were a legal observer, right? You were not one of the people who had volunteered to be arrested?
Well, I guess the best question to ask, and the one that I am going to be asking quite a few people as this works into litigation, is Why was I arrested? I was the only legal observer arrested. I had credentials. It was in the officer's face. I was following all police commands, and I was still arrested, which in itself I thought was a huge mistake, because then you throw me into detaining cells with people who are arrested, and I'm sitting there getting their information, taking testimonies, getting all their stories straight.
You were there to help them, I guess.
It was the dumbest thing.
Why ostensibly were you arrested? We've only got a minute or two here. Why were you arrested? Did you not follow their directions? What?
That's a good question. At 7:45, uh-huh. they issued, I'm sorry, 1:45 in the morning,
yeah.
they issued on a very bad loudspeaker saying, everybody in the street will be arrested.
Uh-huh.
Move to the sidewalk or you will be arrested. So we all moved to the sidewalk.
I've heard this story from other people as
and
well
we
who tell the exact same story.
A few people
right?
got arrested on the street, so we stayed there and observed. And then I was communicating with the line officer saying, hey, are we cool? Do we need to move? Are we all
you
right?
You were on the sidewalk.
Yes, communicating with the police, basically okay. doing my job. And at one point, one of them kind of looked at me and kind of said, you should probably go, and kind of using his body language without actually verbalizing anything.
Right.
So I tell the group, okay, everybody, we need to get moving. Let's head towards the next street,
uh-huh.
away from City Hall. And boom, lo and behold, there was police officers on both sides. We got sandwiched in. The women started panicking. They were terrified. Some women were in tears. Some of the men were becoming very loud, and you know it was a terrifying experience.
And you were on the sidewalk. You did what
I
they told you to
I
do.
I was doing exactly what I was told.
And the thanks was 10 days in jail.
Ten
now,
days.
You had a prior conviction. Is this why they said that you were 10 days?
I fervently believe that it's a political type situation.
Yeah.
I had a misdemeanor I committed in 1999. Debatable that I committed it. I actually took a plea bargain.
You were charged with a misdemeanor in 1999, 12 years ago.
I took a plea bargain.
Uh-huh.
I was willing to do all these different steps to have it expunged from my record, including court-mandated classes, which I had finished and filed. There's no way, and they're basically saying I did not file the paperwork. So basically they're saying I did not complete an entire year of classes, which I did.
But you did. And this was finally cleared up as of today.
Yes.
And I've only got about 30 seconds here, so I want to make sure we get... This was cleared up today. And no charges?
Well, it was cleared up by an attorney. And today, actually, to keep it from going on the stand, the plaintiff dropped all charges.
So
because they knew I was going to roast them alive when I got
on the stand.
So
your charges were dismissed today.
Yes.
After 10 days, $23,000 bail, no charges were actually...
Yes.
It was all dismissed. Great. Cheryl Eichley, do you have a website you'd like to point folks towards?
No, I don't really have a website. I'm a professional activist at this point. There's no money in activism, but this is what I do full-time, and I don't have a website or anything.
Well, let's point folks at least to OccupyLosAngeles.org, as well as OccupyTheRoseParade.org, because that's what's going on this Monday. Folks out here in L.A., in the area, come on out, Occupy the Rose Bowl Parade. Lawrence Zeese, Cheryl Eichley, thank you very much for everything that you're doing, for coming in tonight, and for standing up for all of us.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. All right, when we come back, your phone calls, 877-520-1150. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.